to turn it on.
Satan clearly allowed the devil to come into Simon Peter's life and tempt him, because Jesus said, "I know in the end you're going to be stronger in your faith." So that when you are strengthened, you strengthen your brothers. So yes, there are times when Jesus Christ is going to let Satan have a little leash in your life. He's going to come into your life and he's going to tempt you a little bit. And hopefully through that, you will be strengthened as Peter was. You say, "Well, what if I fail?" So that you will be strengthened like Peter was. Now, that's not the only way that you're going to be strengthened. Another way you're going to be strengthened is in the knowledge of the Word of God. And this is what we're talking about this morning. Becoming stronger because of the knowledge and our understanding of the Word of God. You'll notice again in verse 6 and 9 and 11. In verse 6, Jesus Christ said, "Watch out and beware." He was talking about watching out and beware of the teaching of the Pharisees and Sadducees. Verse 9, he says, "Do you not yet understand or remember?" There's that understanding, that appeal to understanding again. Notice in verse 11 how he comes back to it. In verse 11 it says, "How is it that you do not understand?" So not only do we grow spiritually through conflict, but we grow spiritually through our understanding and intake of the Word of God. So the question is, do you want to understand the things of God? Do you have a desire to be in the Word of God? When you open the Bible, does the Word of God draw you in? Does the Word of God appeal to you? Do the things of God have an attraction for you? That's really the question that I want you to answer this morning. This book is the only thing that's going to help you discern Satan's lies. A child who is soul dead, a child of God who's soul dead, does not have an interest in the Word of God and is ignorant of the ways of God and ignorant of the ways of the devil as well. This book that you hold in your hand is inspired by God. The Bible says this, "For the Word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword and piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, able to discern, able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart." This book has superpowers as far as discerning truth and lies. This book has superpowers as far as helping you discern what you're really thinking, what you're really feeling. Without this book to guide you, you are easily led astray by your feelings. You're easily led astray by your desires. This book gives you the power to discern those things that are true and those things that are false about yourself, what you're feeling, what you're thinking. You can't do it outside of being in the Word of God. It is inspired by God. It is living, the Bible says. The Word of God is living and active. And it's like a sword. And it pierces you. And sometimes when a sword pierces you, you're uncomfortable. It's not nice sometimes to be pierced by the sword. It hurts. It hurts. But it reveals the truth. The truth. As a matter of fact, the Bible says this, "The natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. And he cannot understand them because they are spiritually appraised." Lost people. I meet lost people that say, "You know, I'm religious. I'm religious." Let me tell you something. Religious people cannot understand the Word of God. They think they can. They say they can. Lost people cannot understand the Word of God. I don't care how religious they may claim to be. Only those who have the Spirit of God within them can open the Word of God, read the Word of God, be empowered by the Word of God. Lost people cannot. Get into the Bible, folks. Stay into the Bible. Make it your foundation. It's going to keep you from being disillusioned. It's going to keep you from being deceived. It's going to keep you from being tricked. And I'm telling you, Satan is doing his best to trick you, deceive you, and disillusion you every moment of your life. You got to know the truth. You've got to be able to discern the truth from the lie. And this book is the foundation for making that discernment. Verse 11. Jesus has told them to beware. He's told them to watch out. He's told them to be vigilant. Now let's get verse 11. "How is it that you do not understand that I did not speak to you concerning bread. But beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees." So Jesus emphasizes that it's not the bread, it's the leaven, or what we would call the yeast, that is the problem. Now, I'm not a baker, but I like to eat baked goods, especially hot rolls. And the more butter on that hot roll, the better the roll is. I understand that yeast is involved in causing that roll to rise, or bread to rise and expand. Basically, and there are different kinds of yeast, but it is a one-celled living bacteria. And that bacteria attacks the sugar in the bread. And when it attacks that sugar in the bread, it begins to tear down the molecules there. It causes a release. The sugar, when the sugar is broken down, it causes a release of carbon dioxide. And carbon dioxide is the gas. When that gas expands, it makes little bubbles. You know, when you cut your bread open, you see a little pockets in there. Well, that little pockets in your bread is caused by that carbon dioxide expanding, that bubble exploding. And as the bubble, of course, grows, the bread rises. It also makes ethanol. I didn't know about that. You know, when that sugar is broken down, you get ethanol made. And when you put that bread in the oven, of course, the ethanol evaporates. But again, the ethanol also is gaseous, turns into gas, and it makes bubbles in your bread. Of course, when you make more bubbles in your bread, it expands and it grows. But the point is that the yeast attacks the sugar, and it changes the character of the bread. When it does that, changes it completely. And what Jesus is saying here is the same thing happens when false teachings attack the true teachings. A false teaching changes the gospel. It changes the character and nature of God. It changes the character and nature of the gospel. It's no longer what it was. And so Jesus is teaching his disciples here, watch out. Watch out for the false teachings that might enter in and change the fundamental characteristics of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Beware, he says. This is dangerous. Watch out. Be alert. A change. So what's the fundamental teaching of the Pharisees and Sadducees? What's the fundamental teaching the Pharisees and the Sadducees? Listen, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, they disagreed on a lot. They disagreed on the reality of the spiritual world. They disagreed on traditionalism. They disagreed on the resurrection. They disagreed on the working of the power of God in your daily life. They were disagreeing on the final judgment, but they were both hardcore legalists. Pharisees, Sadducees. They were hardcore legalists. You see, what does that mean? That means they believe that you could earn your way into heaven. Both of them, Pharisees and Sadducees, taught that if you were good enough, if you were moral enough, you did what was right enough, that you could be righteous enough for God to accept you into the kingdom of God. That's the one thing that both of them agreed on. And that's the one thing they were continually pushing. Jesus Christ said no. Jesus Christ called them to task and said, no, you can't get to heaven by your good works. And Jesus Christ was telling them the only way that you get to heaven is by the grace of God and through the sacrifice of the Lamb on the cross of Calvary, which is myself. Jesus Christ called them out. He said, you're a bunch of hypocrites. You're doing the exact thing that you're telling other people not to do. He called them out. He said, you're not going to go to heaven on your good works. And that aggravated them to no end. That upset them to no end. They couldn't stand to be told that they were not good enough to get into heaven by their good works. Jesus Christ was condemning them, condemning their teaching, condemning their ideas that somehow or another they were going to make it into heaven on their own. And that just lit a fire in the belly of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. They couldn't stand that idea. They hated Jesus Christ because of that. You know, when you disagree with what's popular, you're going to suffer persecution. When you disagree with what's popular, you're going to suffer persecution. And that's exactly what's going on here in the passage of Scripture that we're looking at. So what was the popular teaching then? Well, the popular teaching then was you could be saved by your own works. So what is the truth? What is the truth? What made these people become hostile toward Jesus Christ? The truth is that you're not a good person, and that you're born under the judgment of God. And today what we see happening in our country, we look around and we see all the destruction of property that's going on today on TV. We look at the ruining of people's livelihoods. We see hatred for the police. We see cries for social justice. We see hatred toward white people today because they're privileged today. We see hatred extended toward churches. They're burning churches today. They're burning Bibles today. Folks, all of this is just a partial display of our sin natures. That's all it is. A display of our sin natures. We're moving towards socialism because of our selfish sin nature. It is the nature of sin to deny taking personal responsibility for yourself and have somebody take care of you. You want somebody to take care of you, want somebody to provide for you. That is a sinful, selfish attitude because of your sinful, selfish nature. People want to be taken care of. They don't want to assume responsibility for themselves. God said, look, you're going to earn bread, but you're going to earn bread by the sweat of your brow. People said, no thanks, I don't think I want to earn bread by the sweat of my brow. I want somebody to give me what I want. That's where we're headed. That's where we're headed. Riots are easy to incite because people have an innate desire to destroy, especially when they've been convinced that they have been wrong. especially when you get people to believe they've been wronged, you can get people to do anything. And that's where we're going. Entitled people feel like they have the right to do whatever they want to do. And so we have a bunch of people run around who feel like they're entitled and they're willing to riot, they're willing to rob, they're willing to steal, they're willing to kill, and they're willing to destroy because they feel entitled. And when they feel entitled, they feel empowered. And that's where we're at. Now, I don't want you walking out of here feeling self-righteous. Okay? It's easy to feel self-righteous when you look on TV and you see what all is going on TV. It's easy for you to sit there and say, oh, look at all them scoundrels. Look what they're doing. Beloved, what's in their heart, in their sin nature, is no different than what's in your heart and your sin nature. Circumstances were different. You might be throwing rocks at the police. You say, oh, I don't have that sin. Oh, yes, you do. Oh, yes, you do. Don't you look down your self-righteous nose and say, oh, those people, they're different than me. You have the very same sin nature. When Paul was talking to the Romans, there were some Jews in the church at Rome who thought they were better than the Gentiles. And Paul said, what then? Are we better than they? Not at all. For we have already charged that both Jews and Greeks are all under sin. All under sin. What you see on TV, when you turn on the TV tonight, are the very things that are in your sin nature. The very same things are there. We all have a lustful, dishonest, lying, vulgar, evil nature. It's one thing to be in contempt of sin, but it's another thing to be in contempt of the sinner. And we need to be careful to make the difference. Yes, we have a contempt for sin, but we must never have a contempt for the sinner. You see, contempt is the same thing as prejudice. It's the same thing as prejudice. And that's what we are. That's what people are doing today. They're the same things. I know it's really easy to look down on people when you're watching the news and condemn them and say, well, you know, I'm not like them. But prejudice is, and contempt, the same thing. They're both saying, well, you're different than me. You don't talk like me. You don't have the same skin color I have. And somehow or another, we think we're better than somebody else. And we get back to the same, that's the same problem going on here with the Pharisees and the Sadducees and Jesus Christ. You see, the Pharisees and the Sadducees thought they were better than Jesus Christ. They had a contempt for Jesus Christ that was high as a mountain. Why? Because Jesus didn't teach what they taught. Because Jesus wasn't like them. Because Jesus didn't believe what they believed. Because Jesus didn't go along with their fastings. Because Jesus didn't go along with their external displays of goodness. And Jesus called them a bunch of hypocrites. And Jesus lumped them with prostitutes and pimps and liars and murderers and robbers and adulterers and idol worshippers and immoral people. And He told them they were godless. And He told them their righteousness was as filthy rags. He said, well, Jesus was being mean. No, He wasn't being mean. Jesus was being hateful. No, He wasn't being hateful. Jesus was being despicable. No. He was telling them the truth. He was telling them the truth. Look at verse 12. Look at verse 12. Then they understood that He did not say to beware of the bread of the leaven of the bread, but of the teaching of the Pharisees and Sadducees. What's the leaven? The teaching that man is able to take care of himself. You boil it all down, and you get to the end product, and the end product is that we can solve our own problems. We can completely take care of ourselves. We can solve whatever evils there are. We can solve whatever difficulties there are, whatever differences there are, whatever prejudice there is, whatever violent nature is out there. And that is the crux of the leaven. The leaven is the teaching that we don't really need God. We can handle this. We've got it under control. All we got to do is make more laws. All we got to do is develop our psychology and our psychiatry. All we got to do is get into the social sciences and astrology and let the World Health Organization politic everything and let the government take care of you and get your PhD and get a better education and you have youth directors and youth groups and socialism and support groups and divorce courts and we can solve our problems. We know how to do it. We don't need God's help. We're good enough as it is. That's the leaven. That's the leaven. Those are all attempts by men to save themselves and solve their own problems and their own difficulties. And the result is things just get worse, not better. I repeat what the Hebrew writer said. For the Word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, and piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit, both of joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. It hurts. It hurts sometimes to have what we are in our hearts revealed. It hurts. It's not easy to do sometimes. But the truth about who we are must come out. When Jesus preached the Sermon on the Mount, the first two descriptions of the kingdom of God is this: blessed are the poor in spirit. First thing He said, kingdom of God, blessed are the poor
in spirit. You're so poverty-stricken spiritually, you don't have anything to offer God. Nothing. And then he said, bless those who mourn. Blessed who mourn over sin and sinfulness. God gives us the truth about our standing before Him. The Word of God and the Holy Spirit are in collusion to convict us of our sins. And this is the first step of meeting God, is coming to a realization of your sinfulness. And that God will not overlook your sinfulness, that He must judge your sin. He must judge your sin. I'm going to ask Brother Doyle to come forward and help us with an invitation hymn this morning. For God not to judge your sin would mean that God would have to be unjust. God will never be unjust. He's just. He cannot overlook your sin. He cannot overlook your sinfulness. Therefore, He sent Jesus Christ to die in your place, take your punishment upon His Son to pay fully a price, an eternal price that you could not ever pay. You need Christ this morning. I'm going to ask that you stand with me, please, and I'm going to ask Brother Doyle to introduce our song, and then we're going to pray.
542.
Heavenly Father, we thank You so much for the opportunity to open Your Word today and be aware of the leaven, the desire that the sin nature has for us to live a life apart from You, to think that somehow or another, Father, we can handle everything on our own. What a lie from Satan. But this is where he gains power over us, convincing us that we don't need You, that we have all the smarts and all the intelligence and all the research and all the science that we need to solve our problems. God Almighty, help us realize that our problems are spiritual. They're spiritual. And our problems are the result of being out of relationship with a God who created us and designed us and who sustains us. God, I pray that You help us not to be seduced. Satan's pretty slick. He can easily delude us. God, give us a heart for the Word. Give us a heart to do Your will. Give us a heart to be faithful to the One who is so faithful to us. Help us to be tender, God. Tender to the work of the Spirit. And tender and loving toward others. Thank You for Your patience. Help us to grow deeper in our love for You. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Careless soul, why will you linger, wandering from the